Lord, just this day, once again, Father God, we come before You, Lord, as Your people. Lord, we come before You as those that are called by Your name, Lord Jesus, those that You have chosen from the foundation of this world, Lord, to live in this life, to walk with You, Lord, to know You, and to experience, Father, all that You have for us, Lord God, through this journey, Father. And Lord, this day is Your people, Lord God, as people called by Your name, Lord, being led and guided by Your Spirit of truth. Father, we ask You this day, Lord, that, Lord, that You would continue, Lord, to lead and guide us into all truth. Father, that Your Spirit, the Comforter, Lord God, would be with us in this time, Lord God, in a time where things may be pressing, Lord God, and stretching. But, Lord, we know that You're with us. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we ask and pray and accept and receive every promise, Lord, of Your Word, every promise, Lord, of Your Spirit into our lives. Lord, we do rebuke the enemy. Lord, we do rebuke the devourer. Lord, we do rebuke every spirit of the devil, and we do cast it out in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we pray, Father, for the free flow of Your Spirit in this time. And I get out of the way, acknowledging, Lord, that the only good thing in me is Your Spirit. So to Your Spirit I yield as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. John chapter 10. Yohandaya. I want to start with a very familiar passage. And if you've been around me a little bit, you know that I go to this one a lot. John chapter 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
ඒ නිසා යේසුස් වහන්සේ නැවත උන්ට කියනසේ සැබවක් නුඹලාට කියමි බැටළුවන්ගේ දොරකොඩ මමය මට පළමුවෙන් ආ සියල්ලෝම සොරු සහ කොල්ල කන්නොත්ය නමුත් බැටළුවෝ ඔවුන්ට ඇහුම්කන් දුදු නොය දොරකොඩ නම් මමය යමෙක් මා කරුණ කොටගෙන ඇතුල් වේද ඔහු ආරක්ෂා කරනු ලැබ ඇතුළට සහ පිටතට ගොදුරු ලබන්නේ සොරා එන්නේ සොරකම් කරන්නටත් මරන්නටත් විනාශ කරන්නටත්
Okay. You know, I like this passage for so many reasons. You know, the Word of God is so rich. There's so much in there. And there are, with the scriptures, sometimes it feels like you can read the same thing and God keeps speaking to you more and more and more and more from the same thing. Because that's something that's so beautiful about that which has life in it. When something has life, it keeps producing, it keeps revealing and showing more and more as time goes on. Whereas when something is dead, before even it comes off the printing press, it's old. Okay, with John 10, when Jesus starts in verse 7, when He says, I am the door of the sheep. Now, you know, and later on He's talking too about abundant life. Now, all of us are living in this world. All of us exist in this world in this time. And, you know, there's a lot of, all sorts of, every person on this planet exists here for a window. There was a very nice lady I met in New York one time, and she said, not a soul has come into this world that stays in this world. And it's obviously very true. No one will argue with me, be them on the side of Satan or the side of God. No one will argue with you on that point. Not a soul has come into this world that stays in this world. So everyone is passing through this life. And in the process of passing through this life, people are trying to make an existence for themselves here. What kind of life will you live while you're here? Knowing also that this is, which is kind of funny, but because we know that this is a temporary, and yet so many people are living like this is never going to stop. You know, even that in and of itself shows how crazy this world is, because so many people live their lives like this is all there is. Or more specifically, like they're not going to leave this life. Like they're not going to leave this life and leave this world. But we know, if you can find anyone that was here 200 years ago, I would like to meet them. So 200 years pass, and there's nobody here from back then. Okay, so the factor, let's deal with facts today. Let's deal with real things, the fact is that no one stays here really for that long. Well, I mean, honestly, if you live 18 years, if you live 80 years, really in this grand scope of things, it's not very long. It's short. So that being the case, and because you don't really have that much time to be in this life, wouldn't you want the time that you're here to be what it was supposed to be? I mean, it would be terrible if you had a short window of time in this world, and even that window wasn't used for what it was supposed to be. So it would be like going on vacation to a very, very nice place and spending all the time in that room there and never going outside of the room. Wouldn't that be terrible? So Jesus here, when he starts off, he talks about himself being the gate. But verse 10, that second part where he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So Jesus came. I'd like to know a little bit about why he came. Okay, he came, well, one, that we might have life. And he goes on to say, and I don't want you just to have a life, I want you to have an abundant life. An overflowing life. You know, he talks in other places too about out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. So he came that we might have not just a life, but an abundant, overflowing life. We talked last week about end fruit growing out of your life. Okay, but all of this, everything that God offers, does it come on your terms or does it come on His terms? How does it work? According to His plan, yes. So, because you know what? So often what happens is people want what God has, but they're not willing to do their part to line up with it, to put themselves in the position for those things to happen. So for example, if you wanted to get a degree from a school, doesn't it make sense that you would go to that school? Why? Yeah, you need to go to the school, go to the classes, and then you graduate, and then they give you the degree. So you have to put yourself in the position to receive something from that place. So it's very rare, unless I think right now in America there's a big question about whether the president actually went to the schools that he says he went to. Because nobody remembers him going to class. For 4 years, no one knows who this guy is. No, for you, if you want to receive what God has in His hand for you, you and I have to be in the right place spiritually, right position. So, now Jesus talks about being the gate, right? So, in Him, now we've been also talking about oneness with the Spirit of God and all of this. We go through Him to reach the Father. See, you know when people have talked about praying in the name of Jesus, right? You know, they use that like a magic word. Magic word, yes. So something, something, in Jesus' name, after this, in Jesus' name, right? And when they really get excited, they get very excited, very passionate. Like if they say it louder, it'll work better. No, to pray in Jesus' name is actually a spiritual condition that you are praying inside of Jesus. You're in Jesus. So Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, right? So He is the Alpha and the Omega, right? So just, if you look here, so He's the author and the finisher, Alpha, the Omega. So, if you are over here, you're not in Jesus, no? So you're outside of Jesus. So if you want to pray in Jesus' name, you have to come inside here and Alpha, Omega, in Jesus' name. So you can be inside this space here, that's you're in Jesus' name. So, and in Him we live and move and have our being. And then John 15, what we talked about last week, if you remain in Me and My words remain in you, you bear much fruit. Alpha, Omega. In Jesus' name, when you pray in Jesus' name, you are inside a spiritual place. And what were we talking about even the last few weeks? What's our inheritance in Christ Jesus? Single word? Life? Life? You okay? Kingdom? Oneness. Oneness with the Spirit of God. Yes. Gold star. Oneness with the Spirit of God. You're in Him. You're one. Does this make sense? So, if somebody is here and they are praying, quote unquote, in Jesus' name, are they really praying in Jesus' name? So someone's here. They're outside of this place, which is Christ, and they are praying and they're saying, okay, in Jesus' name. Are they praying in Jesus' name? No. They are praying using Jesus' name, not in Jesus' name. Now you understand where Matthew 7 comes from. Where in Matthew 7, let's flip there really quick, where Jesus said, many will come to Me in that day. Hold on. Find that. Verse 21 says, not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven. And many will say to Me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name have cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from Me, ye that work iniquity. Do you understand that now? So many will come to Me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things? in your name. And what will Jesus say? Did he deny the fact that they did stuff using his name? No, they used his name. But they were not in Jesus' name. See, something you have to understand is there's a lot of people in this world using Jesus' name for all kinds of things. They use Jesus' name to build a religion. They use Jesus' name to advance their social or political agenda. They use Jesus' name to try to get power over other people. Over here, outside. They're outside. Lots of things people use Jesus' name for. They use Jesus' name to try to get a husband. I'm serious. Crazy stuff people try to use Jesus' name for. Business success. I keep holding my hand over here just to make the point. Business success. Oh God, if you please, I'll just please do this for me and I'll do this for you. No. What did Jesus say? If any man will come after me, speaking about the sheep, the gate, if any man will come after me, Mark chapter 8, what did he say? Mark chapter 8. Because Jesus is speaking about sheep following him, right? Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, he said, whosoever cometh will come after me, that's the shepherd leading his sheep, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
මක්නිසාද තමාගේ ජීවිතය ගලවා ගන්නට කැමති කවරෙකුට නමුත් ඒක නැතිවන්නේ මානස සුභාරංචිය නිසාද තමාගේ ජීවිතය නැති කරගන්න කවරෙක් නමුත් ඒක ගලවා ගන්නේ මක්නිසාද යම් මිනිසෙක් මුළු ලෝකේ ලබා ගත්තත් තමාගේ ජීවිතය නැති වී ගියොත් ඔහුට ඒක ප්‍රයෝජනෙ මොකද නමුත් මිනිසෙකුට තමාගේ ජීවිතයට හිලවුවට මොකක් දෙන්න පුළුවන්ද එහෙයි මේ කාමිතාචාරික වූ පාපිෂ්ඨ වූ පරම්පරාවේදී යමෙක් මා ගැන මාගේ වචන දෙනත් ලැජ්ජා වන්නේද මනුෂ්‍ය පුත්‍රයා තමන් පියාණන්ගේ තේජසින් ශුද්ධ දේවදූතයන් සමග එන කල උන්වහන්සේ ඔහු ගැන ලැජ්ජා වෙනවා ඇතැයි කීසේක.
Okay. So now, according to this, can you be in Jesus' name and not have come after, not have denied yourself, taken up your cross, and followed him? Can you be in Jesus' name? Can you be in this place, inside of him, without having done that? Yes or no? Can you be in? No, you can't. You cannot be in Jesus' name and not have done that. So I'm sorry if people have lied to you before and told you something different. This is what the Word says. Because also too, if we're talking about the abundant life that Christ offers, wouldn't you like to know how that comes as well? Now, denying yourself, taking up your cross and following Him too, that's even been twisted and changed. That doesn't mean to be one of these, they call them the suffering saint. I know, woe is me, every day up and you're just trying to make it through life. No, that doesn't mean that. No. Denying yourself, taking up your cross and following Him, all it really means is, okay Lord, Your way, not mine, every day. Whatever that may mean, whatever that may amount to, whatever that is a result of, however that manifests this day, that's what I want. So back to the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Lord, give us this day Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Because that's what Jesus practiced. And that's what we practice. A disciple is a disciplined person. So you are developing the discipline of daily, every day, Lord, Your way, not mine. Your kingdom, not mine. Your desire, Your purpose, not mine. Okay. So now, back to John chapter 10. You know, isn't it ironic that Jesus, who talks to us about the abundant life, calls us to take up our cross and follow Him? So Jesus, isn't it interesting? No, just make a note of this. Just note, this is important. Jesus that offers and talks about the abundant overflowing life, calls His disciples to take up their cross, follow Him, and die to themselves and die to this world. Now at the same time, In John 10, the thief that comes only to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, what is it that he tells people? What does he tell people? Save your life. Ah, he says, save your life in this world. Save your life. Take care of yourself. Watch out. You're number one. You don't want to miss what this world has for you. You want what this world has for you. And isn't it interesting that the world, what it tells you, is the very thing that will kill you. See, that's why too, our thoughts have to be changed. We have to allow the Spirit of God to change our thoughts because the world has twisted what's real. Abundant life comes from coming to an end of yourself. And death and destruction and loss and pain and all the things that the world would seek to do to you come as a result of you trying to save your life in this world. Now, verse 8, all that ever came before me, and John 10, are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture.
අටවෙනි පදයේ යොහන් 10 මට පළමුව ආ සියල්ලොම සොරු සහ කුල්ල කන්නොත්ය නමු ගැටලුව උන්ට ඇහුම්කන් නුදුන් නොය දොරකොට නම් මමය යමෙක් මා කන්නකොට ගෙන ඇතුළුවේද ඔහු ආරක්ෂා කරනු ලැබ ඇතුළට සහ පිටතට ගොදුරු ගොස් ගොදුරු ලබන්නේ.
So Jesus is that door, Jesus is the gate, Jesus is the way that we begin the journey. But it's just that, it's a journey. It has a starting point. And you continue on in that. Now, does that sound the same or different than somebody come up to the front, stand here, raise your hand, say this prayer, and go back and sit down? Oh wait, no, we're coming up against something now. Which one is true? Because we know Romans, we know what it says in Romans, where if any, Romans 9 through 11, if any man would believe in his heart, confess with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he shall be saved, right? And so we've all been in those meetings where somebody will read that scripture and they say, okay, so raise your hand. Okay, everybody raises their hand. Now come up to the front. Okay, everybody comes to the front. And now say this prayer. Now say this prayer. Okay, you're saved. Let me take my magic Jesus wand and wave it over you, and okay, it's done. Finished. Or is it a journey? Is it a decision? Is it a walk? Is it a day by day choice that you make? Because you know what people do is they will go through some practice and then they say, okay, now that box is checked, everything's okay. And they go back to being exactly who they were before. But the only difference now is because they've checked that box. Oh, okay, so this one's okay. No, it's a journey, it's a path. And you know, for a child of God, You make the decision, you make the choice to follow Him. You know, you will have as much of God in your life as you choose and as you desire. If you want 100% of who He is, and if that's what you desire for your life, you will have that. And if you don't want that, you will not have it. And anything less than 100%, you will live a substandard life of what God intended for you. Now the world works very hard to keep you away from 100%. Because there is a massive difference between 99% and 100%. Yeah, we talked about that one time with, you remember the water machine we had, the big water machine. How many would like 99% pure and 1% garbage? You like that? It's okay, it's 99% clean. No. You don't want that. But you know what happens too? See, this is why also it is a journey. Because when God takes us and He receives us unto Himself, He takes us exactly how we are. With all of our flaws, all of our mistakes, all of our baggage, everything, He takes us just like that. And then He begins the process with us. What is that process? Glorification. You are going from glory to glory, strength to strength, being transformed into the image and likeness of Christ Jesus. Now, how does that happen? You just sort of sit in one spot and now it happens? No, what happens is that you start walking with God, and then God allows you by His plan and purpose to go through some really horrible, terrible experiences. Things that if you were in the world, you would be destroyed by going through half of that. 5 minutes, you'd never get back up again. But God, what does He say? In Revelation 2 and 3, He calls His people to what? Be overcomers. Everyone, not a single church, not a single individual that will follow Him is allowed to be anything less than an overcomer. And so, He calls you to be an overcomer, and then He puts you in the worst situations possible. And what happens, you know, I used to have a friend, I had a few friends that used to say this in college days. They would say, new level, new devil. New level, new devil. Yeah. No, so, and you know, you look back on it, just Just look back even 1 year, 2 years back, and think about the things that you went through at that time that seemed so difficult and so painful and so much of a struggle. Today, those, if you were to go through the same thing today, it wouldn't be a big deal. So you have a new set of struggles today, but they're a different devil, different level than what it is that you've known from before. We've used the exercise analogy before, yes? We've talked about exercise. Yeah, where's callousness today? You say, first time somebody goes to the gym, 10 pounds, ayo, too much. Three weeks later, 10 pounds, all day. And that's why they have more weights. Because that weight that was difficult before has now become very light. They go up now 20 pounds, now 30 pounds. And as we go through difficult experiences, your spirit gets strengthened, gets strong. Now, what is the key to being able to go through those things right? There's a key. There's something important. Okay. In Him we what? Live and move and have our being. Alpha, Omega. The key is, whatever it is that you're going through, stay in here. You can get angry, you can get upset, you can get tired, you can cry your tears, you can do all of those things, but remain in this place, in Him. Live and move and have your being. You can pour out your heart before God, but stay in here. Because what the enemy works to do with those situations is he works to get you to choose of your free will to leave this place. That's the goal for your enemy. Is to get you to say in yourself, you know what? That's it. I'm done. I'm done. I'm finished. Don't want this anymore. Done. That's what he works for. And because he also knows the truth of the scripture, God said that neither height nor depth, neither angel nor demon, nor anything can take you out of God's hand. But you can choose of your free will to leave that place. God won't stop you. So He offers, because He respects free will. You're made in His image. So the key to overcoming is always remaining in Him. When you remain in Him, and in Him you live and move and have your being, that's where you, because Jesus also said, look, I have overcome the world. So when you remain in Him, you remain in the one that overcame. And when you keep walking with Him, you then overcome as well. It may not happen in 5 minutes. It may not happen tomorrow. You may have to go through something for a little while. But it will happen. And that's why too, what's important is you also go within. The kingdom is within. Because one of the tactics of the enemy is to try to draw you outside. To get you focused on all the things going on around you. This problem over here, this one over there, this person doing these bad things over here. And all of these things swirling around you so that you start thinking out there and you don't stay within with Christ. So whatever it is that you may be facing, that's where you stop and you go within. When you do that, then what happens is now you are making sure that you are bringing God into that situation and you yourself are going into Him in the middle of that situation. That's when you bring the Word into the situation. Because when you are in Him, and in Him you live and move and have your being, you can bring the Word of God into that situation boldly because it's yours. It belongs to you. The promises of God belong to you. I've been doing that over even the last couple of days. Bringing back that word before God that He has spoken and said, okay Lord, here's the situation I'm in. I just want to make sure and check, am I spiritually in the right place with you right now? So I invite you to quicken me and show me if I'm out of place. Please show me because I want to be on track. And after He's talked to me and showed me, okay, is there something alright? Okay, now I know I'm in the right spot, Lord, for these promises to be true and real and active in my life. And so Lord, I come back to You, I bring them back to You, and Lord, I know what You've said in Your Word, so I trust it, and here it is, I'm putting this now not on my own thinking, but on Your Word. And you know, then you can rest in that Word that God's spoken. Now you don't have to fix anything. You don't have to make something happen. It's not contingent on your ability, your best effort. No, now it is based on what God said. And now you can trust that. I can't trust me. I can trust Him. I can't trust me. If apart from Him, you can do what? Nothing. But I trust His Word. I trust His promises. And I trust that as I follow Him, that the abundant life that He desired will be manifest in and through me. And with that, I must stop because time goes so fast. So we'll stop there.